Good evening. We've been asked to read from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3. From where you're familiar scripture, we've heard it many times, beginning verse 1 through verse 9. When I was a teenager, one of the rock groups made this into a song. You probably heard it to everything. There's a season, turn. But back then, many of us didn't realize it was from the scriptures. You know, just a cool song, but we didn't realize that it was from the scripture. But one interesting thing about the book of Ecclesiastes, to sum it up as a whole book, it's simply saying if you live for this life only, it's vanity. Fear God and keep His commandments. This is the whole duty of men. It's interesting. I think it's mourning is referred to twice. In verse 4, a time to weep and then a time to laugh. But also a strange verse, a time to rend, a time to sow. In the Hebrew mind was a time to rend your clothes in mourning. But then when that period of mourning is over, there would be a healing. And at verse 8, it says a time to hate. Another thing about it's sort of an idiom among in the Hebrew language, when Leah was hated, the word is hated, but it's a matter of preference rather than actual hatred. But it's still, the word is still hate. So in comparison, and Jesus even, when he said, except you hate others, your own family, more than, you know, love me and hate them, he wasn't saying to hate, but he was saying he must be first, that kind of thing. Okay, we're going to read these verses. I said enough. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get, and a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to cast away, a time to rend, and a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? Let's kneel as we pray.
I too want to welcome each one of you into the service this evening. I pray that God's will be done in each one of our lives as we look into the lesson this evening. I appreciate the Brother George's prayer on my behalf and appreciate each one of your prayers, as some of you knew that I'd have this assignment this evening. As Brother George alluded to already, our passage this evening is a familiar passage. It's something that laid heavy on my heart for a long time. Something that maybe I struggle with pretty heavily sometimes. There was a time when I was young, our family moved a few times. When I was in seventh or eighth grade, we changed schools, and I was a kind of a shy character growing up. That was a big deal for me. But the school we went to, Brother Laverne Herr, most of you know, was the principal and one of the teachers there. And they welcomed me in, and I remember after the first parent-teachers conference, my mom and dad came home, and mom said he had good things to say about you, but he did say He described you in one word. And it was a word that I didn't know the definition of it. I had to look it up. Actually, they told me the definition of it. That word was procrastination. It was something I struggled with and through school, and sometimes, obviously, I still struggle with it some today. So this lesson is as much for me as it is for anybody else. And as I was reminded again as I went through this lesson, how important God is in our life, and to keep that in focus as our main focus as we throughout life, because everything is based off of how we view God and our love for God. In our chapter 3 there in Ecclesiastes, there's two verses that I want to bring out. That would be the first one and the last, the first one and verse 9. The first one, to everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under the heaven. So many times in today's society, we don't have a time. We hear the phrase, and I've been guilty of the phrase also, I just don't have enough time in the day to get everything done. But here it clearly says there's a time for everything, season for everything. Verse 9 stuck out a little bit. It was a little different than the main drain through the main subject through the other verses. What profiteth hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? Basically, this verse is saying, what profit is our work? What profit is our labor? What advantage does it really have in our lives? As we serve Christ, what's it going to profit us with all the hard work we did? And we'll look at that as we get through our lessons this evening. But before we get started, I'd like to take you on a little bit of a journey. If I can have your minds and go on an imaginary run. Most of us, if we see a penny laying on the ground, we probably wouldn't take the time to stop and bend over and pick it up. A penny's not worth a whole lot. In fact, there was a time a few years back when scrap metal was up that a penny was actually worth more melted down and made into copper than it was actual for pennies, which was highly illegal, by the way. But pennies aren't worth a whole lot. But let's think for a second that you had a bank account that deposited a penny every second into your bank. Every second you would get another penny. In a minute, you would have 60 cents. Every hour, you would have $36. Every day, you would have $864. Every week, $6,048. And every month, $24,192. And every year, $315,360, if you could add it all up. But there'd be one catch. The catch would be, at each and every day, it would be reset. What you didn't spend was taken out of your account. You only had from day to day to use it or lose it. What would you do with the money you earned? We think of a penny as not worth much money until it's put together. I most certainly could live on that kind of salary. But if we think about it in light of our lesson this evening, each one of us is given something every second of our lives that we live, and that's life. A second in a time passing by isn't that big of a deal. It isn't that much of a time. It's a very small fraction. We blink very often within a minute's time. I don't know how many times we actually blink, but there's so many things that we do in a second we don't think about. And each day, we cannot carry over from day to day the time that we've given. Another interesting thing about time, we can't save it, we can't stop it, We can't hoard it up, but we do spend it. Regardless, we can't get around the fact that we do spend it one way or another. And one day, we will be accounted for every second that we've spent, whether for good or for evil. A challenging thought and a sobering thought as you think about it. It's interesting as we go through the verses here in our lesson. There's two comparisons or two extremes. There's a beginning and there's an end. There's a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck. We see opposites here in each one of these things they're saying. So basically what the writer is saying here, there's an opposite end to everything we do. So in verse 9, what does it all profit us? So there's something in the middle that we are given that is of utmost importance. And it's that little thing called time. It's not what we do. It's not what we do for an occupation. It's not necessarily where we go. But it's what we do with each second of our time, what it comes down to. I want to go through and look at, if you want a title or of the message or something, it could be time management. And I'll put a little twist on it as a Christian, because the world has their own set of values of how they view time or what they do with their time. But as a Christian, we have an obligation or a responsibility what we are to do with our time. So Christian management of time is what we're going to look at. First of all, as Christians, we are followers of Christ. The Greek meaning of Christians, and I can't pronounce the word, but it means followers of Christ. Christians are to be like Christ. We're supposed to resemble Christ. When people look at us, they're supposed to see Christ through our lives. 1 John 2:6 says, "He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walketh." Even as he walked. We are supposed to walk as Christ has walked. Christ has shown us the way to go, and we are supposed to follow in his footsteps. 1 Peter 2, verse 21. "For even hereto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps." Also in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, Paul says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I am of Christ." So we get the idea. As Christians, we are supposed to model our lives after Christ. We are supposed to follow Christ, the example he left behind for each one of us. We are supposed to model our lives after it. So we know what Christians are supposed to do. So how does God view time? We see in Genesis 1, if we want to turn to Genesis 1, I want to read a couple of verses. We see that God created time. I always wondered what that water tasted like. Genesis 1, 1 to 5, I want to read them verses. "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and the darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, Let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the night day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day." So we see in verse 5, God created the first day, the first time time was mentioned. God created time. God did not need time before this. He is eternal. He is everlasting. He is not governed by time. So we see here the evening and the morning were the first day. So why did God create time? Well, God created time for us as humans. We can't necessarily think, and it's hard for us to imagine in our finite minds of God being everlasting, forever, before, never being born, never dying, continually being. It's hard for us to imagine, but being God's who he is, he can imagine being as human because he was human. He sent Jesus to be human. So he can, being God, he can understand our predicament, but we cannot understand life without time. So God created time for us as humans. And it's also important that, to remember that God created time so that also authorizes him to rule time and to manage time. So if he created something, he would know the ins and outs of it. Sometimes as we build something or make something today, it's usually out of pre-made materials. You might make a wagon. You might put a metal frame on it, but you're going to make it from metal that someone already else designed how to use materials to create metal. So we might not necessarily understand metal to the full extent. God created time. He understands time. He understands how to manage time, what to do with time. So his creation, creating time, gives him the authority to rule time and to manage it. To try to help us get a little bit of God's perspective, the Bible says, you know, with the Lord, one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. 2 Peter 3:8. God is unrestricted by time. 1,000 years could mean 1,000 years, but it's more without boundaries. God is limitless. God is not bound by a certain time as we know it. A little bit like the illustration Jesus gives in Matthew 18 when they ask how many times do we forgive our brother. He says 70 times 7. Unending. The 490 times was not that big of a deal. Was not necessarily what he was after. But it was that many times that you wouldn't necessarily remember. Without boundaries. But though God is not controlled by time the way we humans are, he still puts an emphasis on it. He's always punctual. He always acts at the right time, even though to each one of us sometimes it seems like forever. He always has a plan. He also has set aside certain times that he has blessed for our benefit. And then certain times are designed to teach us important lessons and maybe to reveal his plan to each one of us and whatever he's trying to teach us. For an illustration, let's turn to John 11. This is another familiar chapter, another familiar story. But I just want to read it here to bring out a few points as we look at God using time as we know it. For a way of teaching, a teaching tool for each one of us. John 11, 1 to 15. I'm going to go ahead and read them, I believe. Starting at verse 1. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary, and her... And then, let me start over. Of Bethany, the town of Mary, and her sister Martha. It was that Martha which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, and that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when he heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, Let us go to Judea. And I'll skip a couple of verses there. Basically, they were looking to kill Jesus in Judea, and his disciples were saying, Why do we want to go back there? And I want to pick up again at verse 11. These things saith he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go
that I may awake him out of his sleep. Then his disciples said, Lord, if he sleep, he do well. Hereby Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he spoke of taking a rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. For I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. So we see two things here. We see a couple things here. Verse 2, we see that Mary was the Mary that loved Jesus. We knew about her love, Mary's love for Jesus. And we also see in verse 5 that Jesus loved these women and Lazarus. So there was a relationship here, and Jesus didn't hang out here in the same place because he didn't love them or he wanted to see Lazarus dead. But there was a bigger purpose, and we see that purpose in verse 3. That wasn't verse 3. Verse 4. The sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. See, Jesus had a lesson here. It wasn't like he was procrastinating. It wasn't like he was stalling for time necessarily, but he had a lesson. And as we also see down here, we see his disciples each receiving a lesson too. Each one of us may wonder about God's timing sometimes, but God maybe has a lesson for each and every one of us. Instead of getting impatient, we can ask God for our eyes to be open so we can see that lesson that he wants us to see. In verse 15, and I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that ye may believe, that the disciples might believe that God, that Jesus is God. Maybe to confirm their faith, maybe to strengthen their faith. No matter what it was for the purpose and the glory of God. We also see in verse 41 and 42, it wasn't necessarily for the Christians. There was a lot of people around here, around Martha and Mary, and they were comforting her. And in verse 40, Jesus saith, Martha was saying about this, about opening up this grave, that Lazarus was in there for 4 days, he's going to stink. Jesus said unto her, that if thou wouldest be believed, thou shouldest see the glory of God. Is that the verse I thought? Oh, and in verse 42, it talks about, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I say it, they that may believe that thou, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou art sent me, thou hast sent me. So it's not only for us as Christians, but for the world around us. God uses circumstances. He uses time as we know it for his honor and his glory. Jesus also sets certain times aside for each one of us. Back in Genesis 2, after God created all 7 days, and at the end of his creation, actually in verse 31 of chapter 1, and God saw that everything he made, behold, it was very good, and the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So he made 6 days. And in chapter 2, verse 1, then the heaven and the earth were finished and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. Now this wasn't a rest that God really needed to do. God is all powerful. He doesn't necessarily need to rest. But he did it for an example for each one of us. Something that we could follow. We are to be like Christ. We are to be Christ. Have Christ's mind in us. Have the mind of Christ in us. So he did it for us. He set it aside. God created the seventh day for rest, not necessarily for him, but for us to follow his example. It's also important to remember Proverbs 16:9. A man's heart devieth his ways, but the Lord directeth his steps. As we see, we can decide... we decide where we're going to go, but the Lord actually directs our steps, whether we acknowledge it or not. Our heart must be in tune with God so we can honestly manage the time that we are given. So many times, I might stay up late, sleep as long as I can, rush off to work, maybe tie my shoes at the first traffic light, eat on the way, and it still seems like I don't have enough time in the day. It's interesting as we look at Jesus' life, Jesus never ran. He was never in a hurry. Although he was doing the most important job, redeeming the world, he had time to consider the flowers and the birds. He had time to hold the children, which the disciples did not think was necessary. He held the children and blessed them. Time seemed to be Jesus' friend. He seemed to have all kind of time. Jesus never wore a Rolex, or a Timex for that matter. He never wore a clock, a watch. He was not bound by time. So the first step in managing our time as Christians is totally immersing our lives in God. Seeing God's heart, seeing what was important to him, and aligning our lives that way. Look at Psalms chapter 90 and read a few verses from there. I'm going to read the first four verses of Psalms chapter 90. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction, and saith, return ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight, are but as yesterday when is past, and as a watch in the night. Turn over to verse 10. The days of our years are 70, and if by reason of strength they be 80, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. And also down in verse 12, the heart of God, and what should be each and every one of our prayer. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. You know, we see here our age doesn't necessarily matter. We all seen the plaque. It doesn't matter. If I can get it together, it just came to me. It doesn't matter about the years and the life. It's the life and the years. God said our labor is nothing but toil. It is labor and in sorrow. So our labor is worthless. It doesn't amount to much. But it's what we do it, the purpose that we do it with. This evening I'm going to look at, for a short time, a practical ways to manage our time. And I'm saying manage our time, but we can't really manage time. We can maybe manage ourselves, what we do with time, but time is unmanageable. It's going to go. We're going to spend it. We can say no, we're not going to, but saying no is spending it. You can't be idle and not spend time. So as we look at time, I ran across a thing, I'm not sure what you call it, but using the letters of time, T-I-M-E, and we want to look at something that we can help us manage time with by looking at each one of these. Starting with T is treasure. Treasure time. Realize how important time is. You know, the older we get, the quicker time seems to go, and the more we realize how important time is. Treasure it. God says we should always treasure time as a valuable commodity. We number our years as birthdays. We have our birthday every year. We celebrate it, at least until we get so old. But we celebrate it to an extent. What about each day? What about each minute? How do we celebrate each moment that we are given by God? To understand the value of 1 year, ask a student who failed a grade. To realize the value of 1 month, ask a mother who gave birth to a premature baby. How valuable is an hour? Ask the businessman whose flight was delayed an hour and he missed an important business deal. How valuable is 1 minute? Ask the man who had a heart attack in a restaurant and an EMT happened to be sitting at the next table and CPR saved his life. How valuable is a second? Ask the person who barely missed a head-on crash with an oncoming car. How valuable is a millisecond? Ask the Olympic swimmer who missed qualifying by 6/10. Time really is valuable. We can't get it back. So as we look at time, what's one of the most important things about time? What's it mean for us personally? What's it mean for our families? Treasure every moment that you have. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. Today is a gift. That's why they call it the present. One of my favorite songs and I think, I'm not sure if maybe Bill Gaither wrote this song or not, but one of my favorite songs, we sang this in school. We have this moment. Hold tight to the sound of the music of living. Happy songs from the laughter of children at play. Hold my hand as we run through the sweet fragrant meadows, making memories of what was today. Tiny voice that I hear is my little girl calling. For daddy to hear just what she has to say. And my little son running there by the hillside may never be quite like today. Tender words, gentle touch, a good cup of drink, and someone that loves me and wants me to stay. Hold them near while they're here, and don't wait for tomorrow to look back and wish for today. Take the blue of the sky and the green of the forest, and the gold and the brown of the freshly mowed hay. Add the pale shades of spring and the circus of autumn. And weave you a lovely today. And then the chorus goes like this. We have this moment to hold in our hands and to touch as it slips through our fingers like sand. Yesterday's gone, tomorrow may never come, but we have this moment today. Have you ever heard the expression, time is money? Well, that's not necessarily true. Time is much more valuable than money. It might be hard to make money, and especially a lot of people might be suffering because bad economy. People say we have a bad economy. But money is possible to make more. Time, it's impossible to make any more. So time is more valuable than money. A.W. Tozer wrote, time is a resource that is non-renewable, non-transferable. You can't store it up, slow it up, hold it up, divide it up, or give it up. You can't hoard it up or save it for a rainy day. When it's lost, it's unrecoverable. When you kill time, remember that it has no resurrection. So understand that you should treasure time as the most valuable asset you are given in this world. The next letter is I. Invest. You know, we can't save time. We can't do anything about keeping time for tomorrow. So what do we do with time? It's going to go. What is the maximum value we can get back on time? And that's invest. So how do we invest? You know, we use a lot of phrases, obviously mentioned, that aren't really possible. You can't buy more time, or you can't find more time. We speak of making time, but that's impossible too. You can't save it. You can only invest it. You know, time is more valuable than money, but it's like money, and they can be spent or invested. But it's different, though, because money can be saved. Time can't. If you don't, you lose it forever. We have all kind of time-saving appliances. We have microwaves that are cook faster than ovens. We have smartphones, so we have everything that we need possibly in our hand. Cell phones that we carry with us so we can be easily contacted or easily contact each other to save time. We have a robotic machine at work that actually stacks bags. It stacks them each and every perfectly. It stacks them straight on a skid, 56 bags at a time, and it'll do it in no time at all. It doesn't take lunch breaks. It doesn't complain about the hot weather. It doesn't complain about the heavy bags. It just continues to work to save us time. With all this time saved, I still can't show you where it's at. Billy Graham said, time is the capital that God has given us to invest. People are stocks in which we invest our time. Whether they're blue chips or penny stocks or even junk bonds, we invest it in people. Where you invest your time reveals what is most important to you. There's many things, and there's things here I'll skip over. There's many things that we could spend our time on, but our time reveals what's inside, what's most important for us. It's not that we don't have enough time. It's just we have the time to do what we want to do. I heard an excuse one time of a fellow saying he was talking about not having enough time for his children. He said, I know I don't spend much time with my children, but when I do, it's quality time. That's not necessarily true, because time is all valuable. If I would give you a $100 bill, but I would smash it all up and crumble it to you, and I would say, hey, would you want this $100 bill or this brand new $5 bill? What would you take? We would take the $100 bill every time, at least if you were smart. It still has the same value regardless of what it looks like. Sometimes we judge humans by what they look like, but in God's eyes, they're all the same value. Now to the big one. And I'm running a little bit short on time, but I do have an illustration here. And most of you, I might have, was going to have a children's meeting, but I decided not to. And this is to manage our time and to show that we have time for what we want to. In this jar is three ping pong balls. The balls is the amount of time that we need as a Christian to spend with God to survive as a Christian as we know it. In this jar, I have a jar of rice. And this involves, the rice involves everything that we do as all the things that we need to do as a human being, whether it's go to work, it's pretty much anything good or bad. What's my life consist of? Well, in the morning, when I wake up, I need to get going because I want to get home to my family again. I'm just going to skip devotions this morning, that time with God. I'll get it tonight, or I'll get it somewhere during the day. So I continue to keep going, thinking I'll have time at the end of the day. Before I go to bed, I'll spend time with God. So I continue to work. I continue to do what I think needs to be done and what's very important. And before I know it, I get everything done that I need to get done, so I think. And then I remember, you know what? I forgot. I need to spend time with God. I'll put one in there. Well, that's all I got in. I can't spend the quality of time that I need to with God because I put it off. If I can get that back out of there. This is the same size jar. So tomorrow, the next day I start, I get up because obviously I have to get up. But before I get too far, I think, you know what? I'm going to spend time with God today. I can't go 2 days without spending time with God. So I spend a little time with God before I go out the door. I go out and start my daily work. And as I had time waiting to get loaded at a place, I spend some more quality time with God. And then I continue to do some more work. And then I have a job at another place where I have some downtime, and I spend some more quality time. And I continue to go through the activities of the day. And I'm thinking that this is the same size jar. There. What was amazing about it? The day is capped, and I had time for everything. Only because I put God first. I put God first in my life. And with managing God first, He allowed me to have time for everything. And the last one I won't spend too much time on is E for enjoy. Take time to enjoy life with our families. Make memories. Make special memories. Take a day off that one day that you think you need to do something else and show your family that they are important to you, or even a spouse or a loved one. We're not guaranteed of tomorrow. All we have is today. Let us honor and glorify God in everything that we do and say by using the time that God has given to each one of us like it's important to us. Thank you.
I want to thank Derek for the challenging message tonight on time. Thank you, Derek. That's quite a bit to take in for one evening, but you said a lot and you said it well, and we appreciate it. You know, when God created time, He created in three dimensions: past, present, and future. We can't live in the past. We can learn from it. We cannot live in it. We can't live in the future. However, our decisions now will determine our future somewhat. All we have left is the present. And I believe Derek made that very clear tonight. We have this moment. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians, I think it's chapter 6. Let me get it here. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. I remember Brother Lowell Gerhardt, my wife's grandfather, up at Hades, saying that at the close of every service. Now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. So let's live each moment. Value that moment. Look for the opportunities in that moment, in the present, because the present is all we have. Let's bow before him in a word of prayer.